Ephesians 6, verses 21 through 24.
This is God's holy word.
So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. Global tourism is a major world industry. In 2019, I saw one estimate saying that global tourism made $1.5 trillion. It's hard to imagine that much money. As we know, because of the pandemic, that revenue has dramatically increased. In 2020, that number dropped by about 65%. But it is slowly rising. We know many people and even family members who are traveling again. Does anyone know what the top country for tourism has been for the past 30 years straight? Yeah, Lindsay got it. France. France has been the number one tourist destination. In 2019, over 90 million people came to visit France on some kind of tourist visit. And I saw this quote on a website. I thought this was neat. It says, France offers a myriad of attractions. The Eiffel Tower, countless world-class restaurants, the Musée du Louvre, Palace of Versailles, Notre Dame Cathedral, the beaches of Côte d'Azur, and of course, Disneyland Paris. Moreover, the lushly beautiful countryside is full of storybook villages, mountains, vineyards, and the occasional castle. One can even view prehistoric paintings. Paris, France's capital, is the most visited city in Europe, receiving 38 million tourists in 2019. So Lindsay and I love to travel. On our honeymoon, we were able to go to Costa Rica. After our first year of marriage, we studied abroad in seminary, and we were in Malaysia for 5 months. And even shorter trips to different states or the countryside, various bed and breakfasts. We love traveling, and one day we hope to travel up north to Prince Edward Island, home of Anne of Green Gables. We love having time together. We love experiencing different cultures. We love trying new foods. We love the sense of adventure. Traveling is wonderful for us. As a church, Grace Fellowship, we are traveling as well. You may remember our Psalm of the Year, Psalm 84, shared that we are pilgrims on a journey, journeying back to the Lord, journeying to heaven. We are sojourners here on this earth. So if we're on this journey as a church, and we even have goals along the way to grow as a church, how are we going to get there? We will get there in Christ, just as we've gotten to this point in Christ. So today we are completing our first sermon series for our church. The book of Ephesians planted us. And by God's grace, God's word will continue to root us as a church. This summer, I'll preach through the certain psalms. It'll be a summer of psalms. In the book of Ephesians, what we'll do today as we finish it up, I will summarize the book of Ephesians in two words. And then we'll look at that last phrase there at the end, love incorruptible. So what are the two words to summarize the book of Ephesians? In Christ. In Christ. We see as we look back over this entire book that it's all in Christ. Our salvation is because we are in Christ. We're united to Christ by faith. Our sanctification, growing in Christ's likeness, is because we are in Christ through our faith in Him. And this church and all churches are what they are because they are in Christ. So let's look back. Feel free if you'd like to just flip back to Ephesians 1, and I'm going to very quickly walk us through these three topics. Salvation in Christ first. So from the beginning, what Cole read said at our call to worship, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, our grace and peace. They're because we're connected to Christ. In verse 3, it says, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Hear that phrase, in Christ. We have every blessing, our whole salvation. Every blessing is because we're in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 5, he said, God made us alive together with Christ. Because we are in Christ, as Christ is alive, we too are alive. And children, you may remember the song from Ephesians 5:14. Y'all remember the song? Where we said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Arise from the dead. Y'all remember that? Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So our salvation is because of Christ. It's only because of Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, how he defeated death and rose on the third day, and we are connected to Jesus through faith. We are in Christ by faith. Our salvation is because we're in Christ. But even more than that, our sanctification is because we are in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:10. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works do not save us, but we are saved so that we can do good works to the glory of God. In Ephesians 4:22, it talks about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. This is only because we're connected to Christ that we can do this. In 5:1 of Ephesians, it says that we should walk in love, and further on, walk in light and walk in wisdom as we walk in Christ. In 5:22, it says wives should submit to their husbands as to the Lord. It's all because of Christ. And then in 5:25, it says husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's all because of Jesus. Children, in 6:1, should obey in the Lord. It's because of Jesus that children should obey. Fathers, discipline and instruct your children in the Lord. Verse 4 of chapter 6. Servants and masters now have a new master in verse 5. Jesus. Jesus is the new master. And then finally it says that we should be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So our sanctification as we grow in Christ is all because we are connected to Jesus. So our salvation and our sanctification, all in Christ. And finally, we are a church in Christ. We're the only reason Grace Fellowship exists because of Jesus Christ and his grace. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says that believers are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God because of the blood of Christ that unites us. In chapter 2:20, it says that Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone of the church. In chapter 3:19, it says that we will know, as a church, we will know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. In chapter 4, verse 5, it says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. It's all because of Christ, that we are in Christ, that we have access to all these blessings. In 4:15, it says that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So this church, our sanctification, our salvation, are only because of Jesus. So Grace Fellowship, Jesus is our life. He is our life. He is our only connection to life. He is our only source of life. And praise God that he is our life. We have it in him. This is why St. Patrick prayed this prayer. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye of those who see me, Christ in the ear of those who hear me. So we are in Christ by faith. May our church always be only about Jesus Christ. He is our only hope for anything good for us personally, for us as a church. So you guys may know that one of our goals for this year as a church, as we think about our journey, where we're trying to go in Christ, is that we hope to go on our first mission trip as a church next year. So that means we need to pray now, plan it, and book it this year. So that's something we're praying for. And I heard this analogy at a sermon I listened to online from Together for the Gospel, a conference that happens every few years. It's about an airplane. So imagine we're going on an airplane on our mission trip, right, next year. Let's say we're going to Turkey. It might sound like a silly question, but what relationship do we have to the plane to get to our destination? Do we need to be under the plane and submitting to the plane's authority? No. Do we need to be inspired by the plane to say, yes, look at that plane flying, one day I too will soar by his inspiration? No. Do we need to follow the plane? Should we literally run behind the plane and just take off and jump? No. To travel, you must be in the plane. It's the only way you're going to get to your destination. So what happens to the plane happens to the passengers, right? The plane lands in the destination, those in the plane will land. So as believers, I think this might be a helpful way to think of our relationship to Christ. Are we primarily under Christ, under his authority? We are under him, but is that the primary way to think about our relationship with him? Are we primarily inspired by him, that we see his example and we follow him? That is a part of it, but is that the primary way? Do we just follow him? I think the primary way, what we've seen in Ephesians, is that we are in him, kind of like the passengers in the airplane. We are in Christ. So that means everything that happens to Christ happens to us. And we are united to Christ by faith. So when Jesus died, we died. When we're united to him by faith, his death counts for us. When Jesus rose, we rise. His resurrection counts for us. In Ephesians 1, it says we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We've been chosen in love. We've been adopted into his family. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've obtained an eternal inheritance. And we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's all from Ephesians 1. So all these things are ours. We are in Christ, just like we're in an airplane. So as we want to go places, as a church, we can only get there as we are united to Christ by faith. So brothers and sisters, we are in Christ. He is with us in our journey. He is carrying us on our journey. So as I think back of where we've been, here in Ephesians for 7 months. A lot has happened even a little before then. We think back. So remember all that God has done, all that Christ has done for us. So in one way, you could say the church started in 2019, when a husband and wife began praying scripture together. But then fast forward to this past August, there's a small prayer meeting in our living room, right down the road. Then in September, we started a Bible study, and God provided this Franklin House as a meeting place. Then in October, we had our first service. We sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," was the first song, a cappella. And we sang "In Christ Alone" as the last song on that first service. Then on December 5th, that is really our church's birthday. That's when we received 8 members into our church. And we had a missions night where we took up an offering and gave it all away to missions, our first church offering. In January, we took Carrie to rehab, this precious woman that God's allowed us to minister to. And we had our first baptism for the church, Paisley. In February, we had a student service, student-led service, and Paisley joined in February, so our 9th member. In March, we did our first community outreach in White House First Baptist Church, and our friend Grant came and helped us with our first church community outreach. In April, we had our first Resurrection Sunday, and we received our 10th member, who we also commissioned out on the same day, Hayden Swisher. And then in May, our friend Carrie is out of rehab. Praise God for all he has done. When we think back of what he has done. So how have we gotten here? It's all because of Christ. It's all because we are in Christ. It's all his grace. Everything he has done is his undeserved blessing. So Grace Fellowship is planted by God's grace. But if we are planted, how will we be rooted? If we're planted, how will we be rooted? There's a verse as I was reading through with our guys. I thought this verse really captures where we are as a church. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So we are planted. How will we be rooted as a church? Do you desire this church to outlive us? Do you desire this church to be here for our children's generation and their children? So how do we get rooted? Well, some of the things we talked about at the beginning of the year, I'll just remind you, that we desire and we need as a church leadership. And the Bible, biblical leadership for churches are a plurality of elders. And so that is something we are praying for and desiring, is that God would raise up other qualified men to help me lead the church. We also talked about that we want to grow together as a church in relationships and in outreach. And we see that happening as time goes on. We also know that we must become financially sustainable as a church. And our financial team has been telling us that, yes, that's been happening slowly and surely. Our offerings are becoming a higher percentage. We have a lot of outside donors, which are great, but they don't last forever. And the church needs to stand on its own feet. But God is doing that too. And we desire to be regularly involved in missions internationally. So these are some of the things we're thinking about as a church that will help us get rooted. So how are we going to get there? That's only by being in Christ, by dependence on Jesus, by dependence on his word and on prayer, and dependence on each other. So may God keep us at Grace Fellowship in Christ, dependent on him. May Grace Fellowship always be only about Jesus. He must increase, as John the Baptist said, and we must decrease. So that is our summary of Ephesians in Christ. And now let's turn to the last couple verses in chapter 6. We're going to see this phrase, love incorruptible. So let me read verses 21 and 22 again. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your hearts. So in these verses, I love the ending of Paul's letters. You can see some beautiful things. And here we see examples of what we see in many of his letters, the relationships that are formed. Paul, even though he did not know personally every person in these groups of churches throughout the region of Ephesus, he did know some of them. He cared for them, and he wanted this church to know how he's doing, and that church wants to know how he's doing. So he had this relationship among different churches, which I think is beautiful. And we also see, well, many times we think of Paul, this great church planner, but we see here that he has many people serving with him. It takes many, many people to start churches, many, many people serving, many, many people partnering, which we see beautiful pictures of that from every one of you who are here to many who are not here today, many who live in other places, other churches who have partnered with us to help us. We see Tychicus, who is delivering the letter. We see just the partnership that they have. Then look at verses 23 and 24. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. These verses really mirror the beginning of the letter. As Paul said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, we see another way to think of the book of Ephesians and how to understand the gospel. The gospel is both a comfort, and the gospel is a call. The gospel is a comfort and a call. We'll see the first part, a comfort. We see these words, peace to the brothers, love with faith, grace be with all. So we see those words, peace, love, faith, grace. These are great gospel comforts to us as believers, that Jesus took our sin, so we have peace with God. We're not at war with God anymore. We have objective peace with God. That's why he says, peace to the brothers. Jesus satisfied God's wrath. He propitiated God's wrath. And Jesus turned it into favor. God has wrath against sin. And because of Christ's sacrifice, taking God's wrath, now God only has favor for his children. And even when he disciplines us, it's in love. It's for our good. So peace, we have peace with God. Love, we have love from God. We have faith from God. Even faith is a gift from God. And we have his grace. So by faith, we can bask in the smile of God. God is smiling on you, dear brother and sister. God is smiling on you today. Not because you've had a great week, or not because you've helped plant this church or anything on your resume. God is smiling on you because he loves you. Because he sent his son for you. Because he smiles on his son. And if you trust in Christ, you are in his son. So God is always smiling on you. So we can bask in his son. We have peace with God. We're accepted by God. Not our own merits, but on the merits of Christ. We have love from God. You are a beloved child. We have faith from God. And we have grace from God. His undeserved blessings. So that is the gospel comfort that we see here at the end of Ephesians. So, brothers and sisters, let it comfort you today that God loves you. Then the gospel is not just a comfort, but it's also a call. The gospel calls to us to respond. And here is one way that we can understand that call. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let's take a moment to think about that phrase. It's an interesting phrase. Love incorruptible. The word there is agape, which is a devoted love. It's a loyal love. It's a covenant love. Here in this context, it's like the love of a bride for her husband, saying, grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. We are right to focus on Christ's love for us, but here the tables are turned and it's our love back to Christ. So there's that love, that covenant love that the believer has for Jesus. And it says that it is a love that is incorruptible. A love that is incorruptible. It is a pure love, a faithful love, a love that's not able to be corrupted, incorruptible. Is this your love for Jesus? Is it a love that is incorruptible? Well, if you're like me, that may cause a little anxiety, a little worry, a little doubt. I'm not sure. I could say my love is incorruptible for Jesus. But fear not, little flock. What Jesus commands, Jesus supplies. He has planted a seed of love in your heart that will not be corrupted. His love. What does 1 John say? We love because he first loved us. God is the initiator, and we respond to him like a flower opening to the sun. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 1. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So the gospel has planted a seed in your heart when you trusted Christ, and your love for Christ will not be corrupted. Not because it's you have this strong love for Jesus, but because he has given that to you. Truly, as he says in Ephesians 3, we will know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So it's a beautiful promise, brothers and sisters. Our love for Jesus will be incorruptible because Jesus' love for us is incorruptible. His perfect love is in our hearts. Just like an apple tree produces apples because good seeds produce good fruit, the seed of the gospel is producing good fruit in our hearts. And that fruit is love, incorruptible. Love back to Jesus. So I just have two applications from this point. The first is an invitation to come and receive the love of Jesus. Receive his love today, whether you know Christ already and you need to be reminded of his love, or you have not yet come to know Christ. Come and receive the love of Jesus today. May you have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is the love that he has for you. So receive his love by faith today. Our second application of how we can love Christ is to love his bride. So Joshua, could you actually bring me up the book? So our church has this book. It's not the book of the life of the Lamb, but it's our member book. And I think this is actually a very treasured possession for our church. I think it's treasured because just like Christ treasures the book he has, the book of the life of the Lamb, he treasures it because of the names in there. He treasures it because of the people that are his, that he loves. Well, we have a book here, and we have our members sign it. And it's very special, and I think over the years it'll be special for us to look back over it and remember the love that we've shared with our brothers and sisters in Christ who've joined our church. We will remember people who've decided to root their lives here with us to spread the kingdom. People who've gone out from us, like Hayden. People who've grown up in the faith as our children come to faith in Christ and by God's grace join the church. By saints who've washed the feet of the saints. And by those who've passed on into glory ahead of us. I believe this is a treasure possession we have. So I want to invite you, if you have not considered membership, I invite you to consider it. I understand people need different amounts of time, you know, to consider that. And so I want you to know there's no rush and for anyone. But I just invite you to consider it. And I wanted to read to us our church covenant. Many of us have heard it before, but I think it's good for us to be reminded, for us members, what we're coveting together to do. So I want to read from the member book. So it says this: having, as we trust, been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fully give ourselves to him, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on his gracious aid, solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other. Here's what we covenant together to do. We will consistently pray for Grace Fellowship, its members and its leaders. We will seek to build up the members of Grace Fellowship in love and unity. We will willingly hold each other accountable, as well as be held accountable ourselves by the members and leaders of Grace Fellowship. We will work together with great passion, zeal, and urgency to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all the nations of the earth. We will eagerly look for ways to serve the body of Grace Fellowship through our spiritual gifts and acts of service. We will financially give to Grace Fellowship with cheerful hearts. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Oh, the places we'll go. Y'all know that book, Dr. Seuss? Imagine the places God's going to take us, Grace Fellowship. We're less than a year into this. In Christ, I can imagine dead people coming to life. Spiritually dead people coming to life in Christ. In Christ, I can imagine lives transformed, even our lives, continually transformed from glory to glory. In Christ, I imagine us maintaining to be a faithful church, a loving church, an ascending church. And in Christ, I hope and pray that we will be patient and forbearing and forgiving as a family as we fail each other, which we certainly will. So as we think about travel at the beginning of the sermon, sometimes we need to remember on this earth, are we tourists or are we pilgrims? If you love travel, you love to see the beautiful countryside of France or wherever it may be, Can you imagine the glory that is to come? The new heavens and new earth? The countrysides, the beaches, the mountains, the music, the feasting, the fellowship, and an even greater destination, Christ's own heart. So Grace Fellowship, to end this sermon series, I just want to say this and read a verse from Ephesians. God can't wait for us to get to heaven. Ephesians 2:7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great love. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your life for us, that you purchased us, that we are your bride. We belong to you, and that you will build us up and you will carry us through this journey until we reach our destination, which is your very heart. So, Lord, we love you back. Lord, it is by your grace that our love is a love incorruptible. So, Lord, would you hold us? Would you carry us? Would you continue to work and continue to do great things in our midst for your great glory, for you are worthy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.